All right. Good morning, Calvary. How's everybody doing on this gloomy, cold, rainy day? Yeah? I think yesterday was the last good one we're going to get for the year. But we'll see. Okay. Go ahead and pull out your announcements. At the top, we've got the Calvary Brotherhood coming up on December 4th. And they're going to be meeting at the Blueberry Pancake House for breakfast. And then the address is on there at the bottom, and that's going to be at 9 a.m. And then right under that, we've got the Calvary Sisterhood, and they will meet Saturday, November 11th. And you're going to want to get in contact with Lori Toth for more information on that. And remember, October is Pastor Appreciation Month. So what is, like, 3 more days, we don't really have to appreciate him anymore. So just for these next 3 days, let's let him know we appreciate him. And then we also have a birthday in the house, one that goes by the name of Pastor Kim. And as I understand, Pastor Mike's told me that he's prepared a birthday speech. No. Well, since you're the leader of the singing, I feel like we should at least sing it real quick. So, all right. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday. Hey. All right. And then the month of November, so that's coming up here, is Calvary's turn here to provide juice boxes and snacks for the Harlan Christian Youth Center. And it says there's a flyer in your mailbox for more information on that. So make sure we are all participating in that on some level. And make sure you poke the turkey. Is that how I say it? Poke the turkey out there. So remember, there's a little turkey set up with its cups, and you poke it, and you pull something out, and then that's what you... What is it for again? There you go. All right. Yeah, I guess there's still more holes that need poked, so make sure you get to that. And I think that's it. Okay, let's go ahead and say a prayer here. Dear God, we come to you in prayer, and we thank you for another day, even if it not be as pretty as the day before. We understand that the gift of life is a gift in and of itself, despite the weather, despite our circumstances, and we just thank you for that. We thank you for creating us. Beyond that, we thank you for loving us and being merciful to us all our lives and exhibiting patience and sending your Son to make way for us to be right with you, God. Because we sure don't deserve it on our own. And so we just thank you for who you are. We thank you for, again, Pastor Mike. We thank you for his leadership and his guidance over the church and just all he does and all he's done and all he's doing. And we give thanks, again, for all pastors everywhere, God. We pray that you would equip them, that you would give them the strength and the courage and the boldness to continue on preaching your word. We have some prayer requests throughout Calvary. It seems like it's been a busy week, and so we just want to lift up all of those and just some that are specifically I'm remembering is Pam Hullinger, Dennis, Todd. We just pray, God, that your healing hand would be upon them, that you would work in their lives, whether it be divine, miraculous healing or through doctors and medicine and the nurses, God. We just pray that you would put a healing hand on them and help them to make a full recovery. And we pray that you'd be with them spiritually, mentally, and emotionally as well during this time, that you would encourage them and uplift them. And we just, yeah, we pray for protection and safety and health for all people, God, especially here at Calvary. And we pray all these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Taylor. Good morning, everybody. Let's stand up and sing our call to worship. This is the day.
This is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. That the Lord hath made. We will rejoice. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And be glad in it. that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made.
Turn to that right or left and tell that person next to you, I'm glad to see you today.
I'm glad to see you today.
Glad to see you today. Glad to see you today. Glad to see you today. Here we go again.
This is the day. This is the day. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made.
Come on.
This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day.
Continue with Surely Goodness and Mercy.
A pilgrim was I and a wandering in the coal mine of sin I did roam. When Jesus the shepherd on me, and now I am on my way home. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He restoreth my soul when I'm weary. He giveth me strength day by day. He leads me beside the still waters and guards me each step of the way. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
When I walk through the dark lonesome valley, my Savior will walk with me there,
and safely his great hand will lead me to the mansions he's gone to prepare. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
Our Father and Lord, we come to you and we thank you for all that you have and that you continue to provide for us. And which is everything, really. And we pray, Father, for those who are sick and that you would be with them and provide healing, hope, encouragement to them and their families. And help us as a church to be encouraging not only to them, but to each other. Help us this day to honor and glorify you in whatever we say and do. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you so much, Ms. Fondell. Let's stand again, folks, and come together and sing Day by Day.
Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here, trusting in my Father's wise bestowment. I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly his part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day the Lord himself is near me, with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares he daily with bear, cheer me. He whose name is Counselor and Power, the protection of his charmed treasure, is a charm that on himself he laid. As thy day, thy strength shall be in measure, this the pledge to me he made. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not this sweet consolation offered me within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meet, and to take as from a Father's hand, one by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land.
Singing, please be seated.
Hallelujah, sing hallelujah, he is Jehovah, I don't know why it struck me that way, but years and years ago, we used to have a young man that came here. His name was Joshua, and he was handicapped, and he came from one of those homes that, you know, they can stay, and the people, they go to work and do all kinds of things like that. And he came to Calvary, and he liked Calvary. And one day we were taking him home from church, and we were riding along, and he said something about, you know, could he stop over at Kroger's? And I thought, well, okay, I guess so. And so he went in, and he bought a pack of cigarettes and came back out. And he said, I had a little problem with the offerings this morning. He said, I put my $5 in, but I needed to get two back. And the usher kind of act like, you know, hey, you know, you put it in, you don't take it out. He's just making change is what he was doing, you know. But he's so funny in that way. But as we were talking that day, he said, you know, we've got a stand-up church. I thought, okay, cool, that's great. I didn't know what he meant exactly by that. But he went on to say, he said, the other church I used to go to years ago, it was Josh sat down, Josh sat down, Josh sat down. He said, I can stand up. All right. You can stand up if you'd want to. I want to read a couple of verses from Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. Titus says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous to good works. Father, we do ask you to bless us. We know that there's war raging in the Middle East. So we pray, Father, you would be with those there on both sides. We pray, Father, that somehow or another some sanity would come to some of those leaders' lives, and Lord, they might put down the weapons of war and take up the cross of peace. So Lord, we just pray that you would work, keep those safe that are there from our nation. We have all kinds of folks there. It's amazing. Lord, we pray for our president, those who have the power to deal with these kind of things. Give them wisdom as to what we might do as a nation. And Lord, we pray your Holy Spirit would work in the lives of every person in the world, not just there. Be with us now as we're here in this place to magnify your name, the Lord Jesus. For it's his precious name we pray. Amen. You know, sometimes we speak of being in a fallen world. We mean by that persons or things are morally and spiritually broken. We read over in Genesis chapter 3, verse 3, it says, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And of course, we know that Adam and Eve ate. Before Adam and Eve disobeyed God and willingly rebelled against God's instruction, I think we could say that the world was perfect. No death. No disease, no pain, no regrets, no sorrow. I scarcely can imagine such a thing as that. Because all of my experience has come with my senses in a world that's fallen. I barely can conceive of it any other way. But it was once, and it will be again. Isaiah 59:1 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he might not hear. Iniquities means gross injustice, a wicked act. It's akin to sin. Sin is defined by the dictionary as an act that is one that is failed to act in high responsibility to. Sin is an offense against the moral law. It causes estrangement from God and divisions in men. The situation we're in right now in this world is we're in a fallen world. Paul states over in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." For all have sinned. That's all of us. Everybody. That's everybody here in Fort Wayne. That's everybody here in Indiana. That's everybody in the United States. That's everybody in England. That's everybody in Israel. That's everybody in Europe. It's the whole world. Everybody. Everybody. Paul lists these things in Romans. He says in Romans chapter 3, he says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." That's all encompassing, isn't it? Then he says down in verse 12, he says, "There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Then in verse 15, he says, "Their feet are swift to shed blood." And then in verse 17, he says, "The way of peace they have not known." Well, we don't have to have a whole lot of instructions on those things, do we? We kind of understand that what the Apostle Paul was talking about is real, relevant, and in our midst every day. Genesis 4 tells us of two brothers. You might remember those guys, Cain and Abel. Those guys, remember that? Now, Cain was a farmer, the scripture tells us in Genesis 4, 3. Cain brought the fruit of his ground and offered this unto the Lord. But Abel brought of the firstling of his flock and the fat thereof. And, of course, we could stop there and talk about why the offering was accepted by Abel and not Cain. But basically, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Basically, Cain brought garden products, probably some good stuff, but did not have blood in it. And so he was trying to establish, maybe he didn't quite understand that, but willfully he was being disobedient unto God. He might not have realized, but that's what he was doing. And the Lord had respect, the scripture says, for Abel's offering, but unto Cain and to his offering, God had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Have you ever seen that happen? I've seen that happen. Some people, it's amazing, and we're cruising along on overdrive, everybody's fine, and all those kind of things, and then somebody, you know, touches up against somebody, jostles them a little bit, you know, and that person, "Hey, I'm walking here." And all of a sudden, pretty soon, the guy is walking down the sidewalk, bumping into everybody. "I'm walking here," you know, challenging anybody and everybody to touch him. Well, what is that? That's sin. He's mad. He wants his way, and he's going to get it no matter what. Cain, of course, his offering was not acceptable because it had no blood. Cain talked to Abel, his brother, and then it says, then Cain slew his brother Abel. What does that mean, slew him? Killed him. I always have a little trouble with that, don't you? Those guys were what? Brothers. Wow. My little brother, his name was Rodney, was 6'4", I think. He pumped iron, he did all that kind of stuff. He was in really good shape. I think he was pressing 3-something at one time. Unbelievable. But I'm standing here and he's dead. Why? I don't know why. Can't tell you why. I just know this, I love him and I miss him. And we can't set the parameters ourselves. God sets those, doesn't he? God sets those. From friendship with God to estrangement from God because of disobedience. And I believe that God had already instructed them what their offering should be. Sin separates us from the fullness of God, from joyful obedience with God to rebellion and warfare at a level that society and nature surely can testify of even today. James chapter 4, verse 1 says, James asked a question. From hence comes wars and fighting among you. Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war is in your members. You lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and you war. You have not because you ask not. You lust and you have not. You kill and desire and you have not. You fight and war and you have not because you ask not. Ask not. And he goes on to say, you're adulterous. Adulterers, know ye not that that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Wow. So we're estranged. There's estrangement. There's estrangement as a race, as a people, as human beings from God Almighty. And then there's estrangement in who we are with each other. Estrangement from God leaves us dying in despair. Not only physically, but we do that spiritually as well. From life, we fall into a cesspool of aimless strife and depression. We see that clearly in the Middle East, don't we? But also, right here in America, this man from Maine the other day took a gun and started shooting people in a bowling alley, in a restaurant. I think the number I heard was 18 killed, 13 wounded. Nobody seems to know why he did that. You know why he did that? He's at enmity with God. He had not reconciled himself unto the Lord God Almighty. And he was bitter with God, and he was bitter with his fellow man. And all it took was just a little jostling to let that demon loose and free in his life. If we do not understand this, that we live in a fallen world, we're going to be very, very disappointed. Where evil is in a fallen world, there evil is, it's real, it's present, it's danger. We can't help it. It's there. And that reality, I want us to encourage you this morning, that is that not all is lost, though. God still is. Many people think that the Bible is kind of a self-help book. They turn to it when they need something. They think the Bible can provide helpful information about marriage, and it can it? About career information, it can. About life in general, all those kind of things. It can do all those kind of things, but it's much more than that. It's a diagnoser of the soul. Maybe you heard that old joke where a man was, he read devotionally every day, was very consistent in doing those kind of things, cracking his Bible open, randomly though, and reading the first four verse that came to his finger. The next morning, this verse was the verse that he found. Judas went out and hanged himself. He said, this can't be, he thought. So he tried again. And then he found the next verse when his finger found this. Go therefore and do likewise. I hope he didn't. The last verse he found was, what thou doest, do quickly. You ever hear that old joke? Sure you have. Sure you have. Bible says we live in a fallen world. That's all there is to it. Everybody around us. There are some days when you're going down through Walmarts and everybody's, getting their stuff and all that kind of stuff. And have you ever been over there occasionally when there's somebody there that's upset with everybody? I have. They're just throwing a fit about something. I don't know what it is. Maybe because the toilet paper is not on the rack anymore. I don't know what it is, but deep down what it is personal inside. There's that old sin nature that's coming out, and they're mad as mad can be. The Bible says we live in a fallen world. But the Bible also says that in God's mercy and his grace, he chooses not to destroy the world, but he chooses to what? Redeem it. So we live in a fallen world. Get that? That's the foundation we're going to build on this morning. But the other thing is that God has chosen to redeem that fallen world. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2 says, God hath, who at sundry times, diverse manners, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has spoken in these last days by his Son. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. God says, come on, let's talk about this. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be like wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. It's either or. There's no in between. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken this. Peter said over in 1 Peter chapter 4, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you. I know. We do that. We say to ourselves, Lord, why me? Why, I'm just, you know, along here. Why not you? Why not you? That's the world we live in. As though some strange things happen to you. It's not strange at all. But rejoice, Peter says, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. This is not over with. The world is a fallen place, but God is redeeming it, and he's going to bring about a renewal and a blessing and a newness. He's going to restore what was lost in the garden. If you're reproached for the name of Christ, he says, happy are you, for the spirit of glory of the Lord resteth in you. On your part, he is evilly spoken, but on your part, he is glorified. Listen, beloved of God, I know we get tired. We feel like we just can't go on any further. Just can't do it. Get discouraged because we live in a fallen world. Don't forget, God is at work redeeming the world. God is at work redeeming the world. You say, well, I wish he'd hurry up. Okay, you take that up with him, not me. Titus goes on to say, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. We can do that. You know that? We don't have to submit to sin. We don't have to. Most of the time we do. We do it a lot, but we don't have to. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people. Did you know that? You're special to God. Not just somebody. You're somebody to God. Because that's what he's trying to do. That's a wonderful thought, isn't it? We live in a fallen world, but God is about redeeming it. The Lord Jesus himself is purifying us believers as a special people unto himself. Peter says it again. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. When I get to that spot, I remember years and years ago that we had a guy here, and when we'd read that passage, he'd say, Baptists, peculiar people. Well, okay. But we're peculiar unto God that we should show forth his praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. God is about, in times past, we were not a people. But now we are the people of God, which hath not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Don't get down. The devil wants you to get down. God wants you to stand up. God wants you to advocate for him. God wants you to do the things that he's called you to do. And if he's called you to do it, you can do it. He will make things available to you. He will make strength. He will make intelligence. If you need finances, he'll make the finances. God will do it. He always does. Again, James says, be ye what? Doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We live in a fallen world, but God is about redeeming that world. What this New Testament scripture is all about is who? Jesus. The writer of Hebrews says, God, who in sundried tribes in diverse ways spoke unto us by the prophets. I've heard that said, and I think, you know, it's, I've heard that said, well, I wish you would hurry up, you know. Well, you're the New Testament church. What if you were a person in the Old Testament church? God is just, you know, the whole book of Leviticus, is that anybody's favorite book? I'd love to meet somebody who said, no, I love that book. I just love it. You know why we don't love it? Rules. When you sin, you have to do this. When you sin, you have to do this. It's a whole book like that. The whole book is that way. Sin has to be rectified. And so the whole book of Leviticus is showing us this huge gulf between us, sinful men, and righteous, holy God. But God is bridging the gulf. God is bridging that gulf. God is bringing us unto himself. Don't think that God does not love you. He loves you so much he sent Jesus for you. Don't think that. Don't get discouraged. Oh, it's easy to get discouraged, isn't it? Well, things are not going exactly the way I'd like them to go or whatever like that. We get discouraged and we think to ourselves, well, it's always too soon to give up. I probably say that every other sermon. It's always too soon to give up. If we could know the plan of God in advance, we would be rejoicing in those tough times. Did you know that? Because we would know that this tough time is going to bring about a change in us. It's going to change our hearts, going to change who we are, and we're going to be the light of the world, and God is going to be well pleased with us. I remember in Korea, we had a chaplain come down from Seoul, and our chaplain at our base, he was a full bird colonel, and he was getting ready to retire. And he was a Methodist, and he was very, really a nifty guy. I've told you about, he would say, you know, Mike, could you get me a car? I need to go somewhere. Could you get a truck? I need to do this. I'm a buck sergeant. He's a full bird colonel. All he had to do was say, give me a car. They would have brought him a car. But he was so intense on who he was and what he was about. And I think part of that, he shared that one time in a sermon that he was preaching. He was saying, you know, he was very dry. If you think I'm terrible, well, boy, very dry. But he said, I'm looking forward to retirement. He says, I'll not be a colonel in the Air Force. I'll be God's servant. And I'm going to preach like nobody ever thought about preaching. And I thought, well, start now, brother. Start now, you know. But he said, the weight's going to be off my shoulders. I don't have to worry about conforming to this or conforming to that or any of those kinds. I thought to myself, do full bird colonels have to conform to things? I suppose they do, I guess. I guess they do. Amazing man. Terrible preacher, but a good, good teacher. He could exegete a passage that you just, almost at the very end, you'd go, hallelujah, all right, yeah, you know. Fantastic guy. He asked me one time, he said, Hey, Mike, can you get a truck, or maybe probably a bus would be better. He said, we have this guy coming. He's the first either archbishop or cardinal or something. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be, I just don't know. Anyway, of New Orleans. Okay. I guess he's an important guy, huh? And he said, what I want you to do is go out here. There's a children's home out here, and I want you to go out there and pick up that choir. They're going to come and sing for this guy. He was going to be there, and he was going to have 8 o'clock service. He was going to preach. The 10 o'clock service, he was going to preach. The 11:15 service, he was going to preach. The 5 o'clock service on Sunday night, he was going to preach. Man, I'll tell you. I don't know why we needed all those other chaplains. If this guy can do it all by himself, But anyway, so I said, oh, well, sure, You don't say no to a colonel. You say yes. And he gave me a piece of paper with a map on it. Yeah, a handwritten map. Can you imagine that, Ron? Now, this is like 4 o'clock in the morning. It's dark. It's dark. I didn't know where I was going half the time. But finally, I found this place, or I thought I found this place, and there was a big open courtyard there, and I took the bus and drove around in that courtyard. Nobody came out or anything like that. I thought, wow, probably wrong spot, I guess. I don't know. So I drove around a little bit more, and I thought, well, I guess it's probably not right. But I'm going to honk my horn, bonk, bonk, bonk. Maybe somebody will come out and tell me, the orphanage is, 2 miles down the road or something like that. Give me some help. Well, when I did that, stopped the bus, a little while the door opened up, and here came all these kids. I was at the right place. I think it was 2 nuns, I can't remember exactly, came with them. They got on the bus, and all the way back to Osan, they sang to me in Latin. Yeah. I thought to myself, well, sounds beautiful, but I have no idea what they're saying, So then I sat in the back. The archbishop guy gave his sermon and all that kind of cool stuff. And then the colonel, my Air Force commander, said, can you take these kids home? I guess so. You're not going to let them walk, are you? So anyway, got on the bus. And this little, he was a captain. He was a chaplain. I won't tell you what denomination he was, but anyway, he said, Sergeant Harris. I said, yeah. He said, what can we do for you? I said, I'm fine, don't need anything. He said, how about a bottle of whiskey? Yeah. Then the chaplain that I, Chaplain Harnett, he was a Baptist chaplain, that I knew better, he said to the other guy, he said, you just insulted him, brother. He don't drink. He's a Baptist. I thought, whoa, okay. So he said, well, I can't pay you anything. I thought to myself, how much is a fifth of whiskey? I'll take that, 20 bucks or whatever it is, But, of course, I didn't get that, anything like that. But then when I got all those kids on the bus and we took off to take them back to the orphanage, guess what they did? They sang to me all the way back in English. Oh, Susanna, all kinds of that kind of stuff. It was fantastic. It was wonderful. Man, they were good. Listen, God can work things out that can bless you. You're thinking about getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go someplace to find something that you've never been there before. This is not going to work out good. But God can work it out. The first place that I pulled into, that was the orphanage. Now, I don't know what all those, there was beautiful stuff. Whatever they were singing to me in Latin, it was pretty stuff. But on the way back, it was English, and it was, oh, Susanna. Okay, all right, we got her, It was fun. Listen, what I'm trying to say is, we don't know what's going to happen until we step out and start doing. That's the way it is. Every day of our life is that way. You don't know what's going to happen if you live through this sermon and you decide to go home and get something to eat. You don't know what's going to happen when you get your car. I'd tell you to be careful out here on St. Joe's Center. Sometimes they come ripping down through there, don't they? We don't know those kind of things. God knows it all. God knows it all. The end from the beginning. He knows it all. Everything. And I believe with all my heart that God wants for you to have a great day. He wants you to be like Josh. You're in a stand-up church, man. Stand up. Don't sit down all the time. Sit down, Josh. Sit down, Josh. Stand up. We can be a stand-up church, can't we? Pursuing God's will for us. Looking for His leadership in every way we possibly can. But we have to stand up. We can't keep sitting down. We have to stand up. We have to be available to God. We need to realize that we're living in a fallen world. Oh, my. But God is at work redeeming it. You know, I think everybody in Israel today, every one of those people who are walking around, some of them are doing terrible things. I don't care who they are. I think God loves them all. And He wants them to come into right relationship to Him. Every one of them. And you know, if they came into right relationship to God, you know what they'd be doing today? Celebrating. They wouldn't have to be worrying about a bomb. They wouldn't have to be worrying about this or that and the other thing. They'd be celebrating the grace of God in their lives. We live in a fallen world, but God is at work redeeming it, and He's made us co-laborers with Him to take that good news of the gospel, to provide for, to touch people's lives, to educate, to build up the body of Christ, that we might be this person that reflects Jesus as He would want us to reflect. And we need to be thankful. We need to be thankful. We need to be forgiving people. We need to recognize the cost of salvation didn't cost us anything, but it cost Jesus. But we need to be ready to help whenever we can. Mindful that the world is watching our behavior. When you say something about, I know Jesus, or I love Jesus, or something like that, guess what happened? Who is this weird old guy? What is he about? Who's this weird old gal? What's she about? You're going to come under scrutiny. And guess what? That's okay. Because God wants those folks to see Jesus in you. Oh, my. Oh, that we would be the kind of people that they could see Jesus in us. In a fallen world, but not acting like terrible, sinful people, but as acting I of redeemed people. Father, thank You for who You are. Thank You for all that You do with us and for us. Father, You don't always tell us all the things that are going to happen beforehand. Sometimes You do give us an advance warning, but many, many times that's not the case. But You're just telling us to walk with You. Just to take Your hand, walk with Me. I'll never leave You nor forsake You. Just walk with the Lord. Never, never think that I cannot do something that's worthy of the cause of Christ. Can you get down on your knees and pray? Whoa, yes, the cause of Christ. Can you donate a loaf of bread or some chocolates to the Harlan Children's Home? Yes, that matters. That matters. We do things all the time. We need to try the best we can understand to look beyond the immediate to the eternal. God has a plan for your life. The world's a fallen world, but redemption in Christ, and you are a part of the redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so with gladness of heart. Lord, maybe there's somebody here this day trouble in their life. Nobody might know. Material things are not there that they need. Maybe there's something happening in their family. Maybe there's, I don't know, Lord, you know those kind of things. But I pray, Father, right now you just reach out and touch their heart and speak their name quietly in their ear and say, I love you. Because he does, doesn't he? He does, doesn't he? And we ask these things. We ask these things, this great privilege, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we all said, amen. Amen. I think we have a song of invitation this morning. If you have something to make open, something to publicly do this morning, you come. Don't hesitate, don't delay.
Without him I could do nothing. Without him I surely fail. Without him I would be drifting like a ship without a sail.
This morning. Remember, when you walk out of this door and you get on that street out there, you're missionaries. You're missionaries. Somebody's looking to see what you're going to do today. That sounds kind of frightening, doesn't it? Live for Jesus. That's what he wants you to do. Todd, how's your eye doing?
Much better for now. Yeah, I'm blessed. I got a result that whether I have sight or not, it's only got glory, and I'm thankful for where I'm at right now.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Dennis, of course, is in the hospital at Parkview North, and he's probably, he wasn't feeling good yesterday. Somebody said, I don't know what it was, but they maybe were giving him the wrong medicine or something like that. But anyway, let's remember Dennis. That's where he's at. He's with us in spirit here this morning. But there's thousands, there's millions of people. There's thousands, hundreds of people that you can touch with your life. Help us to do that this week. Help us to do that. Ron, would you close us in prayer? Either one, don't matter.
Thank you for the message that Pastor Mike brought to us today. And help us keep it in our heart as we go about our daily efforts. We pray in Jesus' holy name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.